Welcome back, everybody. I'm Jimmy Castile with Knowledge Transfer, here with another episode of Agronomy on the Go, some of our crop protection tech talks as we continue to talk about different groups of herbicides and what we're looking for in those. And we have Rachel and Kirk with us again today, so I will let them introduce themselves and then we will get started on the program.
Hey, everybody. Thanks for joining. I'm Rachel Willis, a technical agronomist in Northern Illinois.
And I'm Kurt Emkin, a field sales rep, FSR, in Northern Illinois as well.
So thanks for joining me today, Kurt. Today, I want to talk a little bit about Roundup, so glyphosate versus glufosinate. We use these chemistries a lot, and I think that sometimes we don't think too much about using them. We just use them. But there are differences between the two, and so I kind of want to try to spend today comparing and contrasting those chemistries. So to start off, you know, let's talk a little bit about how they work within the plant. Can you talk about, you know, they're both non-selective herbicides, but glyphosate, which is Roundup, is a little bit different than glufosinate.
Yeah, and I'd say, honestly, the biggest difference is that Roundup or glyphosate is systemic and glufosinate is a contact killer. So in other words, it has to become in contact and cover the leaf to work. The Roundup products, the glyphosate products, translocate to the roots and kill the weed down to the roots.
Good. So let's expand a little bit on that contact versus systemic. When we use these, do we need to use a different amount? Do we need to use them differently? Do we need to use a different amount of gallons per acre, different nozzles? Do environmental conditions that are ideal change between the two?
Yeah, I mean, so when you compare and contrast in that respect, yeah, they are very different. I mean, the Roundup, because it is systemic, you can spray lower gallonages of that and have, you know, acceptable control, because we're looking for, you know, droplets on the leaves concentrated to translocate to the root and kill the weed. Whereas the glufosinate products, we have to get the entire plant or as much of the entire plant covered with spray as possible, because the more coverage that we get on those contact sprayer, because those sprays, because they have to come in contact with the leaves and the stems to get control, then yeah, we need higher gallonages of water. Typically, you know, 20 gallons of water for the, you know, glufosinate. And if the weeds are larger, maybe even as much as 25. You know, Roundup, if we're in the early spring with very, very small winter annual weeds, 10's enough. So, I mean, it's more in the, you know, 10 to 15 gallon range, where the other is, you know, 20 to 25.
Yeah, pretty big difference there, yeah. I guess. So I don't ever think about what weeds look like when they're sprayed with Roundup versus glufosinate. Can you tell me a little bit about what they would look like? Does the systemic versus contact change how they look as those weeds die?
Yeah, there's some subtle little differences, I'll call them. You know, a weed that's been sprayed with Roundup will typically yellow and maybe start to wither and get a little more yellow and wither some more and just kind of slowly go away. Whereas the contact sprays, when you spray the glufosinate products, you know, they typically kind of get maybe a little bit of a burnt or gray burnt appearance on the leaves. And, you know, within 24 to 48 hours, it's, you know, very, very obvious that you have sprayed something on them. And then, you know, they slowly wither away and die as well.
So one thing that I've always heard about glufosinate is that it has pretty ideal set of environmental conditions. Can you talk a little bit about that, as well as, you know, I think of Roundup, we use it for things like burn downs as well. Mm-hmm. And there's probably some ideal conditions there. And sometimes in the spring, maybe we're spraying under potentially less than ideal conditions. Can you talk a little bit about environmental?
Yeah, sure can. You know, both of the products have some kind of environmental watch outs. Liberty, we'll start with that one, or glufosinate. You know, they're both non-selective herbicides, and sometimes you think, well, why don't we use Liberty in a burn down? And typically we don't do that, because for that product to be the most effective, we need bright sunshine, high humidity, and hot temperatures. So when it's a day that's miserable for us to be outside, that is a great day to kill weeds with glufosinate. If it's a nice spring day with lower temperatures, maybe a little overcast, not much humidity, when it's really nice for people, Liberty is not very effective. So, and as we jump over to glyphosate, I mean, the reason it is a great burn down product is because it's less finicky about that. We really don't run into controlling weeds with glyphosate until we get temperatures down around freezing. So in the early spring, you know, we can have those scenarios where it dips down into the 30s at night. That's really the only watch out. If we have, you know, temperatures above 50 degrees and we're using the appropriate rate and the appropriate additives with it, we'll get very good control.
So Kurt, when I think about Roundup or glufosinate, a lot of times I think of these as tank mix partners. Can you talk a little bit about why we use them? From my perspective, why I think that we use them more as tank mixed rather than just standalone products.
Yeah, and isn't that interesting with the conversation up to this point? You know, we said one is systemic, likes maybe a little bit lower gallonages, less worried about the weather outside. The other one, we got to have optimal coverage. It's got to be hot. It's got to be humid. And honestly, Rachel, when we started making these recommendations, you know, with the advent of crops that were tolerant to both glyphosate and glufosinate, I was skeptical. But it turns out, after several years in the field here, that the two products really do complement each other very, very well. And I believe that that the reason for that is because of some of those differences. So we're a little more weather safened. I think that when it's not ideal to spray Liberty, that having that glyphosate in there helps us, even on water hemp, even though glyphosate doesn't have activity on water hemp anymore. And the same for the other direction. You know, there are weeds that Roundup does not kill anymore, but the Liberty is in there, and it's kind of expanding on what the Roundup brings to the table, and together working as a great tank mix situation.
Yeah, so Kurt, I have had the privilege of listening to you at several field days, and I think that you do a nice job of talking about the value of adding Roundup into another tank mix with whatever else you're spraying, even though you just mentioned that it may not be as effective on specific weeds. Do you want to talk a little bit about that value or what you see when we pull Roundup out of a tank mix?
Right. So, you know, early on, because I made the statement here about being somewhat skeptical myself when we started down this path. And what happened, you know, when I look back 3 years ago or so when we first started making these recommendations, there were some people that said, well, I'll just spray a high rate of Liberty, you know, say 40 ounces of Liberty, because, you know, my problem weed is water hemp and I don't need the Roundup because it's not effective on water hemp anymore. So what we had happen was, if the growing conditions and killing conditions weren't ideal, we still had weeds. But then on the other side, where people were following the recommendations that we were making to spray glyphosate and glufosinate together in a tank mix at a reduced rate of Liberty or glufosinate. Sorry, I get kind of hung up on the trade names, everyone. But we actually saw enhanced control, better control. And so then, you know, I became a believer. That is the key to the two products. I mean, they do definitely help each other out. The only watch out as far as on recommendations is when we do spray the two in combination, we need to keep the rates somewhat equal. When you tank mix the two products, if you're spraying, say, 40 ounces of glufosinate and only 20 ounces of glyphosate, it's not as effective than, say, spraying 30 ounces of glyphosate and 36 ounces of glufosinate. Seems like when we stay closer to 1:1, we get better overall control. I think when you start getting the rate ranges too far apart, because they are so different, we start to run into antagonism issues. So whether we need to keep those two rates somewhat close together.
Good information. Anything else that we need to know about utilizing these two pretty common chemistries?
I guess the one thing that comes to mind, and probably the biggest thing that comes to mind, is there are a lot of trait options for soybeans now with E3 Enlist and Extend Flex both. And, you know, these combinations can be used on either crop. So that's a positive. And the other thing is too, is as a, say you're a custom applied operator, you don't have the clean out worries going from one to the other. And it, you know, this combination of glufosinate and glyphosate is effective, is as effective as an Xtend to Max or an Enlist application. And just one less worry for unwanted, crop injury when going from one to another.
So Kurt, you made me think of another question here. When I feel like the Roundup Liberty conversation is more slanted towards soybeans, using them together. Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about the value of adding in Roundup in your corn herbicide program?
So a lot of our post-corn herbicides that we use, the HPPDs in particular, and there are some exceptions, but in particular, and dicamba too for that matter, are not very effective on any emerged grasses. So we get the glyphosate products help us take care of any emerged grasses. The other thing that the addition of glyphosate does to other tank mix partners is we just get more consistent and faster kill on emerged broadleaves.
Anything else that you want to add in on these two herbicides?
I think we've pretty well covered it.
All right. Well, I appreciate the review there, Kurt. I always learn something from you when we talk. So thanks for coming today.
Thank you.
Yes. Thank you, guys. A lot of good information there. And thank you, everyone, for listening. And we will be back with some more episodes pending. So thanks, everybody.